Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and we appreciate you kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James Jam, joined by Seth Habhacker.
Good morning.
We're joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning, you guys.
How's it going over there?
Pretty good. How are things going there?
Doing pretty good here. A little bit of cloudier skies, but We're okay with that, especially because of these temperatures. I imagine that's going to be changing a little bit here, Paul.
Yeah, still looking at a snow event on the way here as we get more into the afternoon. And tonight, start to see that snow band build in from the west here for us. With that winter weather advisory tonight into Friday, so it looks like snowfall. Right now, best estimate, kind of 4 or 5 inches, I think, for our majority of our listening area. Maybe 6 inches as you get further south and east of the Wisconsin Rapids vicinity for snow totals. Otherwise, cloudy today. Steady temps in the 30s. As east winds stay at 10 to 20, the snow moves in later this afternoon, tonight, and then snow tonight, 25. Northeast wind, 10 to 20. Light snow into early Friday, mid-30s then, and then 17 Friday night. Cloudy Saturday, 33. More snow in that forecast Saturday night. Sunday, maybe some more accumulations with that next system arriving into Saturday night, 25 for the low. And then 36 snow showers into Sunday. And 32 Monday, more clouds and sun. Breaks the sun Tuesday, 35. And thawing out with some highs in the 40s coming up Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Paul, with these with the snow coming and the temperatures being where they're at, are we looking at like slush? Is that pretty much in our future?
Yeah, heavier snow. Yeah, definitely the higher water content with it. Here for us, so yeah.
Your favorite thing.
We still appreciate talking to you, Paul.
That's right.
If we got to get bad news, we want to get it from you. Want to get up. That's the way. I appreciate you.
You bet. No problem. Hopefully, that's something better to talk about at some point here later in the month.
Yeah. We're looking forward to those days.
Yes.
For now, we'll talk tomorrow and get people ready for the weekend tomorrow. You have yourself a good one.
You bet. Thanks, you guys, too.
Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Paul Trombley and the gang. Yep, we knew this was coming, though.
We did.
We get through this. I don't know if we're going to get, especially talking to a lot of meteorologists off air and such, I don't know if we're going to get that big, big snowfall that we usually get, like one more in late March or April, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know if that's going to happen this year. They're not seeing it, but who knows? Now, there's so much you can't predict that we can't put the weather, you know, satellites and such over the oceans or anything like that. So there's a lot that we can't predict when it comes to, you know, what's coming.
Right. We can't. But we can handle it. I think, you know, as long as it's not like a giant ice storm, that's the only thing I worry about. Those are the worst. And I hope so. If we do get any kind of weather event in March, it might as well be snow.
We got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up in a little bit. In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to kick things off with our friends from the Southwood County Humane Society. Looking forward to that and our Pet of the Week. Mm-hmm. All that coming up for you. Right now, I wanted to touch on this, and this is an interesting one. And we're going to be talking about actors and parts that they did or didn't get for good reason, for shady reasons or petty reasons or whatever.
Nice.
Now, I know we're talking acting, but I genuinely think that there is a relatability to a lot for a lot of people throughout this conversation. With no matter what job we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of that to it.
Yeah.
And I will walk into this letting anybody know that I have been very, I have been the, I've been that guy a number of times for a good 6 years where I'm that person that they bring in to say, we got to get under budget. And Adrian Brody is going to cost this amount of money. But if I'm a producer and I'm a casting director and I tell his agent, hey, this guy will do it for thousands. You know, he's not even looking at millions.
Yeah.
And he's giving us everything we want. And look at him. He looks almost just like you. We can use this guy. That's the guy that I've been and many, many, many other actors have been for decades.
Yeah.
And that's been going on in acting since the dawn of studios.
Yeah,
everything.
You know it.
So it's something that kind of you get into this game and you get into it because you love it. Hopefully you get into it because you love it and everything. Mm-hmm. And you love acting and you love the creative process and collaborating and all that. You stay in this game. You put up with this stuff because you're in love and you're crazy. And you're
exactly.
insane. And that's what love is. is. You're insane about it. Because there's no rational reason to keep putting yourself through this.
This is the same thing over and over, right?
I just found out I had two callbacks to a role. I found out this weekend that I did not get the part. Mm-hmm. I was told part of the reason I did not get the part was because the director did not like my nose.
Wow.
I mean, what do you do about that?
There's nothing you can do about it.
I could go get a nose change, but the next casting director may hate that nose.
Exactly.
It's one of these things where you could get furious about this, get upset, get angry, or you could look at the next gig and focus on the next job.
Keep focusing on the next thing.
All I tell other actors. That's all I tell anybody you can do. Unless you want to quit the game, then there's no other choice. You have to keep moving forward.
Yep.
This is the process. This is the way. This is the way.
And I'm sure it is a process even to get to the point where you are now, where it's you just roll with it. Because I'm sure at the beginning it was like could be devastating if someone said, hey, your nose isn't right. Sorry. That's got to be rough at the beginning.
Yeah. I've had a screen card since I was 08.
Yep.
So I've been going through this since then for quite some time now.
Exactly.
And it's one of those things where you just keep pushing because it's what you want. It's what you don't. I don't know any better. I don't have another speed.
When
that break happens for me, it's not when that break happens for me, it's not going to be a matter of, well, he was persevering, he was this, he was that. No, I'm insane. I only know one speed. I don't necessarily think I deserve credit or anything
like that.
Right. There's a difference of that.
Yeah.
And many of these other actors we're going to talk about were in similar situations, and I also think it's noteworthy that a lot of these actors had a career when things happened to them. So
when you're a known quantity, yeah.
Michelle Pfeiffer was up for the role of Vicki Vale in 89's Batman, but Michael Keaton was her ex-boyfriend, and he didn't want her in the part because he was trying to get back with his ex-wife at the time.
Oh, boy.
But she didn't end up playing Catwoman in the sequel.
She did.
Some people believe that part of the reason she got that role is because Tim Burton felt bad about her not playing Vicki Vale.
Yeah.
I think she killed it as Catwoman. I think she did an amazing job.
Yeah.
So here or there, she earned the part.
Yes.
The next one is a little more.
Can I make a quick comment about Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yeah.
Because this weekend I saw Quantumania.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good to see her.
Yes.
Act.
Yes.
Because she hasn't done a lot lately. It was so nice to see. And you forget how good an actor she is. She was so good in that role. She had some really great scenes in that.
I will add to that how dang good Michael Douglas is.
Oh, gosh.
And always has been, and how consistent he always is.
Yes.
Every time you see Michael Douglas, he's giving you what he's giving it to you.
He's a pro.
He's just so darn good.
Consummate professional.
People rip on these Marvel movies and everything, and that's fine or whatever.
Yeah,
we get to see these actors still. Nobody else is casting those two.
No.
We got to see them.
Yes.
They got a darn good paycheck.
Yes.
A really nice paycheck from Disney for that. So.
And it almost makes you wish they would have done something when they were younger, because they got great chemistry, too.
Really are great together. I would have never, not that I wouldn't think they wouldn't be good together.
Yep.
I just never would have put Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Douglas in a movie together. Now I'm with you. I wish they would have done a bunch of movies together in the 80s and stuff. Oh, it would have been great.
Yeah.
Robin Williams was offered the part of the Joker in Batman, famously.
Yes.
But many people don't know the details of what happened with that. People think that Robin turned the part down or this and that. Well, this was a dream role for Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And when he found out that he got the part, he was telling everybody that could listen. That's part of the reason why we know about it, is because he told so many people. He was so excited about this. And Tim Burton and the gang made darn sure that Robin felt this. They did that because they wanted to make darn sure that Jack Nicholson knew that they were talking to Robin Williams. And Robin Williams was one of the hot commodities at the time. And, well, geez, I mean, we're going to cast this guy. We're going to cast Robin Williams. If you don't, lower your paycheck. Jack didn't lower his paycheck. And Jack wouldn't take no for an. It was going to be Jack Nicholson, then Michael Keaton. It was not going to be Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson in the naming.
If you look at, his name is first.
His name is first.
Yep.
The VHS cover to the movie poster to everything.
Yep.
And they used Robin as bait to for Jack to either blank or get off the pot.
Yeah, right.
And Jack took his time and still didn't do it, and finally ended up signing up for the role for the money that he wanted and got his naming rights and everything.
Jack.
And the only thing that ended up doing was burning bridges between Tim Burton and Robin Williams. Williams and a lot of other people, and Tim Burton never got over this as a reputation. You notice that Tim Burton throughout his career has worked with a lot of the same actors over and over. It's because those are some of the only actors that will work with Tim Burton. And I'm a Tim Burton fan.
I
would work with Tim Burton. But I don't. That's.
But there's reasons that these things happen. Yeah,
it's tacky. Tacky. And nothing. And what came of it? All that came of it were burned bridges.
Yep.
Beyonce has been in a couple of situations. Beyonce wanted to be the voice of Princess Tiana in The Princess and the Frog, but she refused to audition. She thought that they should just give it to her. They gave it to Annika Noah Rose. Everybody needs to audition Beyonce, even Queen Bee.
Yes. Because the what was her name? I'm sorry, the one who did it, who actually did the role?
Annika Noah Rose.
She knocked it out of the park.
She was great.
She was wonderful in that movie.
Beyonce also didn't want to play Plemente, the feather duster, in 2017's Beauty and the Beast remake because she thought the role was too small. Beyonce is not being offered any roles.
Recently.
Your ego in music doesn't transfer to your ego in the acting world.
Like, it's true.
You know, that doesn't fly that way.
Right.
And it doesn't vice versa either, what it's worth.
Can I do a little a thing here? So my undergraduate degree is in sociology. And in one of the classes we took, there is a word that was invented by a famous sociologist called heterotomy. Mm. Which means that you take your standard, where you are in one field, and then you transfer it to another one. Mm-hmm. Like you're a PhD, and then you get a TV show. Mm. So you take your respect that you have as a scholar, and then you get a TV show, and you use that for that. That's a great example of her trying to do that with that, and it didn't work. It didn't work.
That's an awesome. What was that word?
Heterotomy.
Heterotomy.
Heterotomy. Yes.
Heterotomy.
And we invented the word heteronomoid as a person who does that.
I like that. I like it a lot. That's a great word.
Beyonce, heteronomoid.
Oh yeah. Richard Gere was supposed to be in the 1974 movie The Lords of Flatbush, but during a lunch break, he spilled mustard and chicken grease on Sylvester Stallone, and they got into physical fight. Stallone said, quote, "The director had to make a choice. One of us had to go and one of us had to stay. Richard was given his walking papers and to this day seriously dislikes me." That's a quote right from Stallone.
And I don't blame him.
Yeah.
Stallone being kind of a jerk there.
Yeah.
I'm sure he didn't mean to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. When Meryl, this is a famous one. This is actually one that I tell a lot of actors about. Mm-hmm. When Meryl Streep auditioned for the 1976 King Kong remake, the producer told someone else she was too ugly for the part. He said that Meryl wouldn't understand. He said all this in Italian, thinking that she wouldn't understand him and all this. But Meryl did understand. Meryl comes from a bit of an Italian family and everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She kind of told him off, and Jessica Lange ended up with the part.
Mm-hmm.
That director didn't work a whole lot after that. And I spoiler alert, everybody, Meryl Streep ended up having a pretty okay career.
She bounced back quite well from that.
Happens to be maybe the greatest actor in the world right now.
Exactly.
Maybe. If Meryl Streep is not the greatest actor in the world right now, she is top five.
She's close.
At the very least, she is top five.
Yeah.
Yeah. And beautiful, by the way.
Yes. There's
always
nothing
has been
wrong
beautiful.
With the way she looks.
What the what,
me?
Man? I've had a lot of things about my looks said. I've never been called necessarily outright like ugly or anything
no.
like that. If I was, it would hurt my career, but I don't know how I would hold back. Who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you talking about, man? What are you? Russell Crowe declined to play Wolverine in the X-Men franchise. This was a big deal when it happened. A lot of people thought it was going to sink the franchise, that they weren't even going to make the movie because Russell Crowe was not attached. He didn't want to be overly associated with wolves since his character in Gladiator was wolf.
That's the most bizarre.
Yeah.
What?
Apparently, he didn't realize that a wolverine isn't a wolf. It's more closely related to like badgers and ferrets and things.
Completely different kind of animal. Oh.
To his credit, he owns this and makes fun of himself about it now and everything. I don't think he would have back in the day.
Yeah.
But the Russell Crowe now, who has been humbled and everything,
yeah, right.
he gets it now.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I was a fool. I was a fool. And I admire that. I admire his career. I actually am enjoying him much more now than I did back when he was supposedly at his peak.
Right, right. Although I'm not convinced he's a great actor. He's fine, but I don't think he's a great actor.
I think he's better than average. Okay. And I definitely think he deserved, I don't remember who he was up against, but I believe he deserved the nomination for A Beautiful Mind. I still think that's his best role.
That was probably his best role.
He was
role.
Very
yeah,
good
for
in
sure,
that. Jennifer
for sure.
Connelly, I think, was better,
yep.
but I thought he was very good in it. There is a trailer I just saw for The Exorcist, for The Pope's Exorcist. It's all about, it's a true story about mm-hmm. the literal exorcist for the Pope, the right, head yep. exorcist and stuff, and he's playing him. And man, it looks good.
Cool.
It looks really good. Like,
well,
he looks
a chance,
great
for
in
sure.
it.
Yeah, that's great.
I was a little surprised. I'm like, wait a minute, Russell Crowe. And I'm not usually into those types of movies.
Yep.
The trailer really pulled me in.
Oh, there you go.
It looked really good.
The marketing team did their job.
They did their job, all right. Olivia Wilde was up from Margaret Robbie's part in Wolf of Wall Street. She was initially told she was too sophisticated for it, but she later found out they thought that she was just too old.
Okay.
Which happens way too much.
Especially with women.
It's a smack in the face, and it's hard to ask women to be in this industry when you keep treating them that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Will Smith was supposed to be the one. He was going to be Neo.
Really? I don't know if I ever heard that part. If I heard that.
Oh, yeah. There was a couple of people that were up for that part. Will was the one that they wanted. Will. They were going to go after Will. They had Keanu in their, okay. Locked up in their chamber, and they're like, we'd like you. But they were honest. The Wachowski brothers were very honest with him, maybe being young in the business, who knows. Mm-hmm. But they were honest about, hey, we're approaching Will Smith about this. He's told us that he probably will do it. So we'd like you to be a part of this, but we'll see. And Keanu Reeves, being Keanu Reeves, is cool with it. He's like, all right, fine. He's got other things lined up that he can mm-hmm. do.
Sure.
Will Smith decides to do the Wild Wild West instead because he believes that this will be a better box office smash and it'll keep up his 4th of July streak. It's weird to think of now. But
I know, isn't
that? He had that streak there for a while.
Starting with Independence Day.
Just any movie that he had coming out
yep.
around in July.
Yeah, Men in Black
yes.
and then all the,
yes.
yep.
He, after Tom Cruise, he was the next Mr. 4th of July kind of guy, because mm-hmm. Tom was that for a long time.
That's true.
And now Tom is it again, kind of. Wild Wild West has flopped horribly. His reasoning at the time was that he thought Wild Wild West would be a bigger hit, would have more franchise appeal. Kind of funny that The Matrix is still going on in some ways.
Yes,
and
it is.
That Wild Wild West, nobody's seen
no,
that.
No.
Michael Jackson was almost Jar Jar Binks.
Huh?
Mm.
What?
But George Lucas was dead set on doing it with CGI. Michael wanted to do it with prosthetics and makeup. They ended up not being able to come to an agreement on this, and Michael ended up not doing it.
Which is probably good for Michael, considering the way the character was written was just kind of, nah, yeah.
Yeah. I will say this. If Michael Jackson does the part...
You think it's...
I don't think he does it with the old voice. The voice.
Oh.
I think that the big thing with Jar Jar Binks was the voice. The voice was so bad.
It's so annoying. Yeah.
They had in that same movie, the guy that's in charge of Anakin or the mechanic that's running Anakin, the kid Anakin.
Yeah,
he's got the stereotypical voice.
Yeah,
that guy. Like, there was so much of that.
And I know.
There's a reason why, you know, those movies didn't hold up very well didn't do very well.
No.
George Lucas went way too crazy with CGI. Way too
before
crazy
it was ready.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what he was trying to do, but you're right. He absolutely, yeah.
The CGI, it's weird to say because the technology had come so much farther in Star Wars mm-hmm. and everything, but he was too ahead of it.
He wasn't ready yet. Yeah.
And he was, I'm sorry, but George Lucas spent way too much time in a bubble. Like, the idea that a character like that people would like the character with the other stereotypical voice or any of the other stereotypes that were in that stuff. Like, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but there's some bad stuff in some of those, man.
One of the best things I ever heard, John Milius, the filmmaker, made a comment about, because he was a friend of George, you know, they came up together, they're part of that group, you know, of directors.
Yeah.
And he said, look at the new Star Wars movies. He's like, they're all a bunch of meetings. That's all it is a bunch of meetings.
They are.
And he said, George just does meetings all day. That's all he does anymore is take meetings.
Yeah.
And he's writing what he knows.
Just lived, he's been too much of a bubble.
Yeah.
At Skywalker Ranch, just, you know, and I don't pick on him for that or anything, but I think that you need to understand that stuff. Like,
exactly.
Take a look around.
Yeah.
And you know, okay, maybe I don't understand what people want to see. You know, maybe
exactly.
They don't want to see Palpatine in there for 20 minutes, you know, talking with all these other aliens and all. Like, no. Give me a lightsaber, man.
Please,
where's the lightsaber?
This is a fight.
take a break right here. We'll come back with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show at WFHR. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. I've got, like, now I keep flinching when this one comes up. Like,
PTSD.
Yeah. It's time to do some celebrating, everybody, with our good friends over at Misty's Menu. And keep in mind, Misty's is closed on Wednesdays and Thursdays. They will be up until March 20th, but they will be opening their doors again tomorrow. So they'll be open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday and Thursday, not open. But when they are open, join them over at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids, open 6 to 2, and wish them a good morning from all of us at WFHR. Seth, I need you to give me a one or a two.
Two.
There we go. That gives us our qualifier. So we can dive right into the celebrating. And first up, want to wish our old family friend, Rhonda Patron Burnett, a very happy birthday.
Rhonda, happy birthday.
Rhonda, a longtime family friend. I believe her, I think her brother or something, Joey Patron, one of my dad's oldest friends. The Patrons, good people. Good people. I will wish Rhonda a very happy birthday. Rhonda cannot qualify because she lives in Chicago.
She's not going to come all the way up from Misty's.
But we do wish her a good morning, yes. And everybody down there listening. Appreciate. Also want to wish a very happy birthday to Alexis Braun Elsner.
Alexis, happy birthday.
Lexi lives in Texas now, but longtime Rapids resident. Many mm-hmm. people knew her as a bartender around here and everything. Great human being. Mm-hmm. Alexis, wonder if you met Alexis, you know what I'm talking about. She's a great human being.
Very cool.
Have a great birthday, Lexi. And also want to wish a happy birthday to Carmen Smallbrook.
Carmen, happy birthday.
Enjoy your day, Carmen. We hope mm-hmm. it's a fantastic one for you. Thank you so much for sending your birthday to us.
Mm-hmm.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Ann Knight.
Ann Knight. Wow, what a great name.
That's
happy
a great
birthday,
name.
Ann Knight.
That's a good name. Speaking of superheroes, that's superhero type name. That's
Ann
a great
Knight.
Name. And we wish you a fantastic birthday. Mm-hmm. You're our qualifier today, and thank you to whoever sent us Ann's name. We appreciate that. Send us more of these, everybody. We want more and more. Send them to info@WFHR.com. Direct message us on Facebook. Just type in your search bar, WFHR, and like our page and direct message us that way. Or you can email me directly, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. james.mailoff@civicmedia.us.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at our celebrity list real quick here. Matthew Gray Gubler is 43. He is Dr. Spencer Reed on Criminal Minds. He's the voice of Simon in Alvin and the Chipmunks movies. He's done some other stuff, too, a lot mm-hmm. of independent movies. Steph and I are huge fans of him.
Oh,
we watched every episode of Criminal Minds.
Okay.
And in part because of him. He's such a
there
good
you
actor.
Go.
He's a great Spencer Reed, one of my favorite characters, I think, in TV history, the character he played.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine anybody else doing it but him. And it's so weird because he's not an actor. Like, he was a model. And he got into acting kind of like was pushed into it.
Really?
And just kind of picked it up and got a good part and, you know, decided to run with it. And
he's
just so good at it. He's directing now and stuff too.
Wow.
He's an interesting guy.
That's cool.
The great, the wonderful Oscar Isaac is 44 today.
Oscar Isaac.
Huge fan of Mr. Isaac.
He's just a year younger than me. Wow. That's not fair.
No, it's
not. That's not fair.
He is Marvel's Moon Knight. He is Poe in the Star Wars movies. He's got so many great performances and so many great roles.
Yeah, he's so cool.
It's just a matter of time before Oscar Isaac wins himself a big award.
Oh, yes, he will.
He's going to do something that's going to, you know, do that. Let's see here. Emmanuel Lewis is 52. Wow. Emmanuel Lewis is 52. Webster is 52, everybody.
Wow.
Man.
Oh, man.
That really took me a second.
Yeah,
like, I'm like,
that,
is that right? Is that, that can't be right. Not just that, I don't mean this to sound bad. I expected him to be older. Like, for some reason, I just thought he was, 52 ain't bad. Like,
that's
not nearly
good,
as old as I thought he was. Like, he really has been in the public eye a long time.
He has for very long. I just realized he's not that much older than we are. So, yeah.
That's weird.
That's really, kind of jarring.
Brian Bosworth is 58.
The Boz.
Man, you talk about your star like shining and fading real quick. He came out of college and he just, he's going to get all these commercials. He's this, and this. Bo Jackson runs him over and never the same. Never the same.
He was a really good college linebacker. Real he was one good. Of the best.
Yeah.
But it just did not translate. He had injuries, you know, and then he was in Stone Cold, which just kind of.
That didn't help anything. No, that didn't help anything. Him as an actor did not help things.
No, not at all.
Juliette Bochet is 59. Won the Best Supporting Actor Award in 1997 for The English Patient. Great actor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A wonderful actor.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Fiorentino is 65. Another great actor. She's Agent L in the Men in Black movies.
Yes.
Bethany in Dogma. Good actor. I liked her.
Yeah, she's been in some really interesting projects throughout her career.
Jeffrey Osborne is 75. Stay With Me Tonight, On the Wings of Love, and other 80s classics.
Wings of Love.
Oh, no, don't start. Don't
sorry.
Start. That gets stuck in my head. I am coming after you.
I know you get a bumper in a minute. It'll wipe that away.
It's in my head. It's in my head. Oh, dang it.
Oh, man.
Dang it, man.
I'm going to pay for that.
Charles Gibson, 80 years old. Former host of Good Morning America and ABC's World News Tonight.
Yep.
I always thought Charlie Gibson did a fantastic job.
Yeah, good voice. He's one of those really cool voices, too. Yeah.
It was. I always thought he was very good on that show.
Yes, he was.
And my mom loved watching Good Morning America. I thought he was a big, great part of it.
Yeah.
Mark Lindsay is 81 today. Paul Revere and the Raiders lead singer.
Wait, he's how old?
81.
Wow. Man, Arizona.
Good one. Mickey Guiley is 87. Oh, I'm sorry. Mickey Guiley would have been 87. I apologize.
Okay.
Famous country singer, big hit Room Full of Roses, mm-hmm. passed away in 2022.
Yeah.
The great, cool. wonderful, one of my bigger influences, Mr. Raul Julia, born in this day in 1940, passed away in 1994.
I still miss him.
Yeah, yeah, big time. I'd love to see what Raul Julia at this age would be like.
Some of his great performance. At the same time, he was in a couple of Real Dogs, I love. But because the fact that he gave his all, no matter what he was
that's
in.
That's the thing.
You know, Street Fighter, or if you're a Mystery Science Theater fan, Overdrawn at the Memory Bank. Oh, thank you. Gosh.
How did I not see that coming? Of course you'd know that. Of course you would have that reference. The biggest MS fan I know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. I love that performance. I love that. That's one of my top 10 favorite Mystery Science Theaters.
It is. It's one of the best they ever did.
Even in that, they say, like, is Raul Julia trying or something? Like they say something like that because he doesn't have an off switch. He's still giving you top level A acting in horrible movie. Oh, gosh.
It was like a thing made for public television in Boston or something. It's so bizarre. But
every once in a while, you don't have to read the script. The title tells you it's a bad movie. Overdrawn at the Memory Bank. Like it sounds like a bad like 70s pop song.
Yeah.
Like some failed artist is trying.
Oh, you know, man.
And she turned and told me I was overdrawn at the Memory Bank. Like, it seems like a bad
Tom Waits
line in a song.
Tom Waits song, right, perfectly. Yeah. And it's on videotape, too. I mean, it makes it worse.
So bad. But Raul Julia, that's how good of an actor he was.
He
could even shine through that
kind of
stuff.
He could do it.
And he is, one of the most perfect player actors to play Gomez.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the perfect ones. It's nothing against the other actors that have played him or anything like that. Just Raul Julia really hit the mark and was Latin.
That
had a part of it.
That's the thing. Before that, it was all, you know, Caucasian actors that played. And they finally got it right. And you'll notice ever since then, Gomez is always played by someone like South American, Spanish. Yep. Yeah.
I'm happy to see that, too. I think that's a correcting of that.
Oh, Seven Degrees. Oscar Isaac did the voice of Gomez in the animated film of the Addams Family.
Right. Nice catch. I forgot about that. Shout out to Louis Guzman, who did a really nice job in the Wednesday series as Gomez.
He's
so great.
Louis,
I love him. And the great Bobby Fischer, born on this day in 1943, passed away in 2008. The first chess prodigy that many of us ever heard of.
And
he wasn't the first, of course, but the first chess prodigy, like our generation especially.
Became very famous because of it.
He became the world champion at the age of 18. Remember Searching for Bobby Fischer, starring Ben Kingsley and Lawrence Fishburne. Mm-hmm. Fantastic movie. Oh, my God, what a good movie. What an interesting person, an interesting life. And a bit tragic in some ways.
And at the end there, it was very, very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Just sad.
But it was very sad.
Always can really take the mark of, helping put chess on a respectable map.
Especially in the United States.
The United States.
Right.
What I think what Pele did for soccer in America, you could make the argument that Bobby Fischer did with chess in America.
Oh, 100%.
I don't think it would have been where it is without Bobby Fischer.
You're very right.
One more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Rhonda Burnett, to Alexis Braun Elsner, to Carmen Smallbrook, and of course to our qualifier, Ann Knight.
Happy birthday to everybody.
Remember, Misty's is closed today, but they'll be back open tomorrow from 6 to 2 over at 9041 Steadway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish the gang a great day from all of us at WFHR. Take a sit back and take a listen to Melissa's news, and we'll come back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. 8:42 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Mr. Seth Habhacker.
Is that me?
Seth.
Take these broken wings.
Mr. is just one of the worst names I can think of. It's so bad. It's so bad. We hope you're having a great start to your Thursday. Happy Friday Eve out there, everybody. Mm-hmm. We are going to get into some fun stuff in a little bit. We've got hacks to stop you snoring.
Okay.
We've got that one coming up for you that I'm looking forward to. Got a That Ain't Right story, a couple of That Ain't Right stories that are pretty darn good. I think you guys are going to dig. I think you guys are going to like those. And we have some entertainment news coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We're also going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour with our friends from the Southwold County Humane Society with our Pet of the Week. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, indeed.
But if you'll excuse me for a second, I have to touch on something. I wanted to do it coming out of Melissa's news because she touched on it as well. In Wausau, there were some documents containing anti-Semitic materials that were dropped off early Monday morning in a Wausau neighborhood east of downtown, according to information obtained by News Channel 9. A representative from Wausau Police says it's believed the incident is isolated and pamphlets were in only a small portion of that neighborhood. Mm. There is a rabbi there, Rabbi Benjamin Alshuler of Mount Sinai Congregational in Wausau, who had some comments on this, especially considering this was the beginning of the Jewish holiday Purim. Mm-hmm. Quote, ironically, that's about confronting hate and facing anti-Semitism and avoiding genocide. We were doing that here because we celebrate our tradition. We have pride in what we are doing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to speak to not only the people that may have done that, distributed those papers, but the people that may have be sympathetic towards that type of thinking.
Okay.
If you have fears, if you have concerns, I encourage you to reach out to me. Now, anti-Semitic people have been writing me at this email address anyway.
Of course.
So you may already know it, but those that don't, james.maloff@civicmedia.us. If people are telling you something, talk to an actual Jew and find out if it's true or not. Now, you could easily say, well, why would we tell the truth about it? Why would we lie?
There's no reason to.
Why the most of this stuff can be broken down with logic, but hate doesn't care about logic.
No.
Hate doesn't care about facts. And there are certain people that you are never going to reach.
Nope, you're right.
And so I'm not even worrying about that.
Yeah.
I'm talking to more of the people out there that are starting to, like, this stuff is starting to build on them. And they're starting, well, wait. No, this person that I know and trust and everything, they said this thing about Jews or this thing about Jews or whatever. There is not a Jew in human history that is looking to do any of these things that you're being told. Mm-hmm. And to the people that are promoting this stuff, why are you hiding? Bring yourself out in the open. Show yourself. Show who you are.
Yeah.
If what you're doing, if you genuinely believe in what you're doing, you should be not hiding from anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I never understood these, say what you will about a skinhead. At least they own what they are. They're at least showing you who they are.
They're being honest, yeah.
You know, the KKK, these cowards, these people that hide behind masks, or these keyboard cowards, the people that'll send me emails and never put a name on it or use a fake email, all these things. What are you hiding from? If you believe in what you're saying, I'm not hiding. I have a Star of David and a cross tattooed on my left arm right where my ancestors were tattooed during the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. For a reason. I own my life. I own who I am. I'm not hiding. we don't hide who we are. We're pretty, actually, pretty bad about that, actually. We're pretty obvious about what we are and everything. Why are you hiding? If you believe in these things, if you believe in this hate and this propaganda, show yourself. Join me on the air here. Talk to me on Morning Magazine or something. I'd like to have a conversation with you.
Sure.
I'd love to be able to squash any of these things you're saying. Let's have a discussion, because otherwise you're just talking loud and saying nothing, and you're a coward and you're a punk.
Yeah.
And I'll say it right to your face, every single one of you. Mm-hmm. You again, you are in the minority. You're right about that. You are a minority. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about to Jews or any other creed or anything. I'm talking about the good versus evil that exists in today's day and age.
Right.
And the good, I again, last naive bone in my body maybe, but I believe the good outdoes the bad. I believe there is more good than bad. And we are going to be on the right side of history. The good people.
Yeah,
the people absolutely. That are looking at people as human beings.
Yeah. Right.
Not as any of these other things or any of that.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a conversation. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not even angry, because unfortunately this is nothing for us.
Oh my gosh,
I've dealt with more stuff this week than that. But to the people out there that are continuing to do these things, I do say, speak up. I show yourself. Show who you are. If you're afraid, if I do, I might lose my job. Then what you're saying is not nearly as important as it must be.
Exactly.
Why would you lose your job? Why would that happen? Why would I might get canceled. Why do you care?
Why does it matter?
Do you think I care about being canceled right now? Do you think I care about that? I'm standing on my soapbox. I'm standing on what I believe. My name's out there. I don't use a fake name on the radio. I don't use a fake name on social media or anything mm-hmm. like that. I am right here for you. You can come right at me and bring your conversation. Bring whatever it is that you've got. I've handled much worse than you, and I will handle more than this.
Mm-hmm,
so this isn't the end of this or anything. So let's try to have some dialogue. Let's try to have some conversation, because nothing, talking down to these people or shaming them or anything isn't going to exist. Show yourself, and let us show ourselves, because what you will see facing you is the masses of the people that are on the right side of history.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the reporting by Melissa. Nice job by her.
Yeah.
Very nice job reporting by Channel 9 as well. A shout out to Isaac Deason. He's doing a good job, by the way. Isaac's been he's been doing this for about a year now or something. When he first started, a little nervous in there.
Of course.
Getting more and more comfortable while he's
That's
at
great.
It.
That's great.
It's one of my favorite things, watching local radio or local TV announcers and anchors and everything as they're first starting out in those early rough days. And then when they fold out and they get really good at the job.
You got to start somewhere, right?
I have a lot of respect for that.
Yeah,
it's not easy to do a job where your first day on the job, you've got to do in front of thousands
everybody,
of people
and
everything.
Exactly.
Isaac's doing a nice job over there. Nice reporting by him.
Yeah.
We will take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here, and I promise we'll have fun. I'll get off the soapbox. Coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, and it's time to help those snorers out there.
Okay.
And I am one of them.
All right.
I am one of them.
We can all learn something, right?
When I was really little, my dad loved recording us and had a boombox, and he recorded me sleeping because I did not believe, apparently, I don't remember this, but I did not believe how bad I was.
A lot of people are like that, yeah.
Shortly after that, had my adenoids and tonsils taken out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still snore a bit. Still bad. I don't know if I'm that bad, but for me, it's more the sleep apnea. Like I stop breathing in my sleep or something. That freaks people out.
Yes.
In a recent survey, 56% of people said that they snore or have a partner who does, and 54% of them have tried various hacks to try to cut back on snoring.
Okay.
And the range of tips and tricks is all over the place.
I'm sure.
Some of the most popular things people have tried include using extra pillows, buying anti-snoring pillows. What does that look like? I got to look that up.
Snoring pillow?
Anti-snoring pillows.
Okay.
Oh, I'm looking that one up.
Yeah.
That is definitely, I've never heard of that. I got to look that up. Drinking more water, nasal strips, nasal sprays, saline rinses and sprays, decongestants, taking a hot shower before bed, and using a mouth guard.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Those are some of the techniques. Others include avoiding alcohol before bed, avoiding alcohol completely, drinking alcohol before bed, sleeping sitting up, sleeping backwards, and with your head at the foot of the bed. So you're kind of flipped.
Yeah, exactly. Man, people try everything.
And then there are these weirder hacks.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Which may be randomly discovered brilliance or just social media silliness. Taping your mouth, which sounds very unsafe.
Ugh.
Putting a peg on your nose. Again, what? Very unsafe.
Don't do that.
Spreading thyme oil on your feet.
Oh, I've heard that one before. How on earth is that going to help you snoring?
Yeah.
If you put something on your feet.
Putting, this is maybe my favorite one, Seth. Putting a tennis ball in your PJs to stop you lying on your back.
Yeah, because you're not going to be sleeping.
Like it's just going to stay right there. Like it's just it doesn't stay move. In place.
It's a ball. It rolls around.
I just love the idea of somebody like trying to set this up and like the awkwardness of it. On average, the person in the survey would spend $40 a month to improve their snoring, or they'd shell out $340 if it meant it would stop for good.
I like that. Improve their snoring. I'm not snoring nearly good enough. I need to snore better than this.
How can I be louder? 70%, give me a bullhorn.
Yeah.
70% of people are spending money seeking help for from medical professionals. 61% say that while they might try a potential remedy here and there, they've come to accept that it's never going to go away forever.
Okay.
This is what love is. This is love. This is where you really find out if you really, really do love somebody.
And that's the thing, too, because I have a snoring issue, too. Mm. And so basically, Beth and I actually sleep in separate rooms because I feel horrible about waking people up when I snore. So
my brother's in a similar situation.
Like, I'd rather just, you know, go to a different room and then not bother you, get a good night's sleep in, and then whatever. Because it's mostly because I just feel so guilty about waking people up. So
same thing for my brother.
I
hear you. I admire that. I also feel for that. That's the stuff. What about these anti-snoring pillows, though, Seth? They look really weird. All of these look very weird, and they like there's a couple of them that involve like putting something in your mouth. It like attaches to the pillow.
No.
And you got to put something in your mouth. I don't like anything like that. I don't know what it is, but I'm not.
What's like the price range we're looking at here? What are you seeing there?
Oh, that one I was just telling you about is only $559.
What? No, thank you. No, thank you.
I do see one that's called a purple standard. It's $20, but I think that's just a pillowcase. I don't think that's it. Like most of these are like at least $70. I'm seeing one for $117.
Man,
they make you pay for these.
They
things,
are
man.
Getting paid for it, man.
That ain't right. That's that ain't right story right there. So I don't see any of these actually working either. Yeah. I'm not sure they would. Well, if you didn't think much of that one, I don't know if you're going to really like this one either, everybody. Have you ever had to drag a drunk friend home from the bar? There might finally be something better than coffee to sober them up.
Oh, dear.
Researchers at the University of Texas Southwestern say that they've come up with a new hormone injection that can make people sober up twice as fast.
All right.
The hormone is called fibroblast growth factor 21. Or FGF21 for short. How is that much shorter? Our liver produces it naturally, but they found a double dose might help. Basically, they got a bunch of mice drunk and tested it on them. First, they injected them with a binge dose of alcohol. Then some of the mice got the hormone injection. And the ones that did sobering up did get the injection sobered up faster. They also tried a second experiment where they got the mice so drunk they passed out, and the ones that got the hormones that time woke up twice as fast. If it's safe, it might eventually be something you could buy to help make your drunk friend less wobbly. But at first, it might be more of an emergency treatment. When someone ODs on opioids, they get Narcan. So it might be like that, but for alcohol poisoning.
Oh. Well, see, now that makes sense. I'm sorry. I just had this vision of a bunch of mice sitting around a table getting drunk.
Same here. It's dogs playing poker, but with mice.
Mice and alcohol, yeah.
It's oh my just God. Mice and alcohol and poker.
And they're laying in different ways. Oh my gosh.
I love the idea of these mice just be like, I don't know why they're doing this, but this is a great job.
This is great.
I love this job.
And then they wake up after passing out. What did I do last night? Oh man.
You were really wild last night. You really I love that.
You have like now like 6 mouse holes in your house. What happened with the, where did all these mouse holes come from?
I do like the idea though of the Narcan type thing.
Yes. Now that would be a practical solution. I got a general question here. Mm. Why do we continue to try to find ways to get rid of hangovers or make you less drunk? Why are we spending all this time doing that? That's what I want to know. Why?
Yeah, I mean, people apparently can't help themselves. And they need this to... unfortunately, they need this.
Yeah.
I also think you got to market this different. FGF21 is never going to be a very...
It sounds like one of those fake testosterone things. Like, yes. You know, those really griftery kind of like, oh, snake oil, you know, take our things and you'll be He-Man kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about that one. Don't know about that one. Doesn't really, no.
Doesn't do it for me. Doesn't do it for me. No.
I do want to talk a little bit more about this with you in a little bit, Seth, but the Community Health Fair, Seth and I are going to touch on along with Morning Magazine and some other things. Mm-hmm. For those that did not catch it last night, Wisconsin Badgers lost against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. So they will not be continuing on in the Big Ten tournament.
Correct.
Which means, of course, our coverage wraps up of the Wisconsin Badgers for now.
Yes.
But we will be covering Marquette basketball in our sister station, WIRI.
That's right.
Marquette, the number one seed in the Big East. They are going to be taking on St. John's, the number 8 seed. That game will be at 10:30 this morning. Be sure to catch that on our sister station, WIRI. But as far as for us, for Badger coverage, we will not be having any more Badger basketball.
We've wrapped that up. Yep.
Yeah, wrap that one up. We're going to follow Marquette, though, throughout the tournament here. And I got a good feeling about Marquette in this, not just in the Big East.
But in the Big Dance,
yeah, and March Madness. I really like the way that it's looking for them right now. I think that they've got some young talent, some good, nice recruits, and it could be a nice season, a nice way for that season.
And they got a very smart coach.
Nicely done. We got to take a commercial break. We'll come back with our friends from the Southwick County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week right here on Mornings on WFHR.